like for you to get your Bible, and I would like for you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. Now, I want to share with you a word that the Lord placed upon my heart. We had been going through a study on the New Covenant, understanding the New Covenant, but the Lord placed another word on my heart for today, and I'm going to be obedient to the Lord and share it. Luke chapter 14, and I want us to begin reading at verse 25 through 33. And the word of the Lord says, beginning at verse 25, I'm reading from the Modern English Version. It says, "Large crowds went with him," talking about Jesus. "And he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. For who among you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, to see whether he has the resources to complete it? Otherwise, perhaps, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to complete it, and all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to complete it." Or what king, going to wage war against another king, does not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Otherwise, while the other is yet at a distance, he sends a delegation and requests conditions of peace. So likewise, any of you who do not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." And I want to speak with you today about counting the cost. Counting the cost. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me as your minister to share your heart with the people. Lord, I pray that you would speak directly into every one of our hearts by the Spirit of God. Let there be fertile ground in our hearts to hear your word today. Remove distractions out of our mind. And I pray that, Lord, you would be the one that would speak, animate me, anoint your word, bring life to it, and hide me behind your cross in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I still remember the day many, many years ago now when my cousin Paul asked me, I was standing on this side of the car hood and he was on the other side of the car hood. We were on the side, probably near the front tire wheel wells there. And I remember he was on the other side and he said to me, "James, you want to go with me to church?" And when he said, "Do you want to go with me to church?" I knew exactly what he was saying. You see, I was raised Roman Catholic, and when he said, "Do you want to go with me to church?" Paul was saying, "Do you want to go with me to the Little Assembly of God Church in Capulin, Colorado?" And when he said those words, I said, "Yes, I want to go." I said, "Sure, I'll be there next Sunday." He says, "Okay, I'll come and pick you up." And I remember that Sunday morning, I was standing there at the table, and Paul's car was coming down the road, ready to come down the driveway towards my parents' house. And I was standing there at the table and I turned to my mom and I told my mom, "Mom, I'm going to go to church with Paul today." And I remember my mom began to start weeping. She began to cry, and she began to cry those kind of tears that are heartfelt. I mean, streams of tears are coming out of her eyes. It was coming from her gut. It was a very painful cry that she began to cry. And she turned to me, she said, "Well, why don't you just go to church with me? Why don't you go to church with me? Why do you have to go to that church?" And so I turned to her and I said, "Mom," I said, "well, I told Paul I was going to go with him." And all of a sudden, like that, as I was standing there seeing my mom bent over crying awful tears, and that was breaking my own heart, this scripture came to my heart and my mind, and it came as clear could be. And it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." And right there I knew that there is a cost to following Jesus. That if no one else goes with you, you should be willing to go alone. Amen. And right there with my mom crying, the scripture came to my heart like that. The car's driving down the driveway. I knew what I was supposed to do. And if I was to go all the way with Jesus, I've got to be willing to forsake even my own mother, who was even there weeping torrents of tears. And so I remember I just said, well, Mom, I'm going. So I left her crying. I jumped in the car. We went to the little church, Templo Cristiano in Capuline. We pulled up to the church, and I remember I got out of the car, and I almost told Paul, hey, just take me back home, because it was burning. It was hard. It was a choice, a fork in the road. And I remember I almost turned back. And I remember as I was there, I said, no, I want God. I want God in my life. I want all that God has for me. And I walked in that church, and I remember just being there in the service. I don't remember the sermon. I don't remember anything else. But I had made a decision. I'm going after Jesus. I've put my hand to the plow, and I'm not turning back. Amen. And that very day, I remember my mom telling me weeks later that my cousins and some other family had went to pick her up, and they went to San Luis to go to the Stations of the Cross, which is very familiar country for our Roman Catholic friends. And she says, I don't know why, but I just could not bow down to those images the way I used to. And God began to deal with her heart, and it wasn't about 2 to 4 weeks later she received Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord! When we have given our lives to Jesus, we must understand that we must be willing to forsake all to follow Him. And Jesus, in this moment, I can imagine the crowds that are following Jesus. In His ministry, there was the time of popularity when the masses of people were following Him everywhere. Sometimes they would come to Him just for the food. And even Jesus discerned it. He says, you're not coming to me because you are happy to be with where I am. You're following after me because your stomachs were filled yesterday. And He began to teach them a hard saying, if you don't drink the blood and eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you can't be my disciple. And the scripture says many of them turned back. He turned to His own disciples and said, are you going to? And they turned back and said, to whom shall we go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. We must be willing to pay the price to follow after Jesus. And God's will for our life at times will begin to crisscross with what we would like. Many have called it the cross of our life, when our will intersects with His will. And it's no longer my will, but your will be done. And Jesus is telling these disciples, you must be willing to forsake everyone, everything, to follow after me, because if you don't, you cannot be my disciple. And so then Jesus begins to illustrate the importance of counting the cost. Because there will be times when He requires all of you, and you can't be on the fence. You can't be with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You've got to be all with Jesus or none at all. And so Jesus begins to illustrate, firstly, how many or who that is intending to build a tower doesn't first sit down and count the cost. Who among you, verse 28, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost to see whether he has resources to complete it? Otherwise, perhaps after he has laid the foundation, he's not able to complete it, and all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to complete it. How many people are discouraged from following Jesus because they see the shipwreck of faith all around them? Those that started strong, those that were faithful to church, they were sharing scripture with their friends and their family. But then all of a sudden, as time progressed and the world began to call and the old things began to come their way, they began to give ear to it. They began to flirt with it. They began to coddle it. And now, where they were once so on fire and passionate for Jesus, they're not in church anymore. And that is the words of the world. Look at them with a mocking voice. They had started so strong, and now look where they are. They're worse than where they were before. But he says, you must understand that there is a cost. Your salvation is free. But your walk with God is going to cost you everything. And are we willing to pay that price? We must be willing. He says that man needs to sit down and count the cost to see if he has the resources to be able to complete it, or else they're going to mock and say, look, he started, but look, there's only a foundation there. And when the world mocks, that they make fun, they ridicule, they kick while you're down. They have no mercy. And they just say, you're just another statistic. But our God is going to be faithful to you. You put your hand in His, He's going to carry you through the whole way. He's going to help you through the thick and through the thin. But then he says about a king who's ready to go into battle. An army of 20,000 men is coming to attack, and now he needs to assess, I've only got a 10,000 army. I only got 10,000 able to fight this 20,000 man army. Am I able to fight this battle? Should I engage in this war? Should I even start this fight? Should I engage in battle? Because he needs to assess, my 10,000 man army is able to take down those 20,000, then go for it. But if your 10,000 man army is weak and isn't strong enough, you better not go to battle because your destruction is sure. It's counting the cost. Counting the cost in regards to your and my discipleship. And Jesus says, so likewise, in verse 33, any of you who does not forsake all, I want you to say all. I want you to spell it out for me. A-L-L. He that does not forsake all, he who does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Wow, Lord. You mean it's really that extreme? Is it really that much, Lord, that you require of me? And it's a big yes. He wants all of you. Everything. Your family, your friends, your children, your grandchildren. Amen? Your money, your house, your car. It's all, we've got to come to the place, Lord, it's all yours. It all belongs to you. Amen. But we must be willing to forsake all to follow after Jesus. I remember going to New York City to talk to a brother at Times Square Church who was over the multimedia department of Times Square Church. His name was Philip Ladrick, I should say is. He was the son of a missionary, was raised on the mission field, his father a minister of the gospel. He had kind of strayed away for a season. He heard the preaching of Pastor Carter Conlon, rededicated his life, and is passionate for Jesus, but he's got a gift. He's a brain. He is an amazing individual in regards to tech, in regards to multimedia. And so at the time, at our Bible school, we were looking into building a website ourselves to put our foot forward in the web, in the internet. And so I went to New York to talk with this young man, and he began to tell me about how to build websites and what it takes. And then he began to tell me about the need for counting the cost. And he began to say, it's even a thing that the world out there does. He said, those that go into the field of going to be an engineer, before an engineer begins to go and complete a particular project, they need to count the cost. He says, before they even start doing anything, they sit down at a table and they begin to think through the plan of how to accomplish what they're going to do through their engineering expertise. Do we have the money to complete this project? Where's the best location to make it work? All kinds of things to assess before that project is done. And he began to say, do you have enough finances to build a website? Do you have the right personnel to keep that website going? Do you have a backup plan if that thing was to crash? Do you have security in place? Think it through. Think it through. Count the cost. Think it through. And now I want to go to the place where the Lord put upon my heart. We understand that to be a disciple costs everything. But the Lord began to put upon my heart this to share with you. That even with the decisions that you are making, we must be willing to count the cost of those decisions. Your decisions, and there's nothing specific, I just know I need to say this. Those decisions that you are making, you need to think through those decisions before you make them. Because if you do not think through the ramifications of that decision, it can bring a lot of repercussions to what you do. Think it through. Think it through. How will that decision affect you as a person? How will that decision affect your family? How will that decision affect your job, your income, your lifestyle, your future, your present? Count the cost. And we must understand that even the decisions that we make in our lives as Christians hold potential for a lot of things to happen. You are not alone. You are connected to the whole body. And it affects a lot of things around you. And our decisions hold a lot of weight too. And we must be ready to count the cost for even those decisions that we make. Now, I'm not here to try to put fear in the heart. I'm here to say, put Jesus in the midst of your decision making. What does God have to say about that particular choice that you can make? A few weeks ago, the Lord placed upon my heart that sometimes we can be very short-sighted. We are only thinking in the now when we're not thinking into the future of how these things are going to affect, how it's going to affect our lives, whatever it may be. And we must be praying, oh God, give me a broader vision. Help me to be wise like a master builder or like an engineer who sits down and thinks about the whole thing, because it's going to cost you. Amen? I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about much more than money. Are you willing to pay the price? These people are following Jesus in the droves, but did they understand that within 20 years of this time, their lives could be thrown into prison for what they believe? Did they realize that they would, some, be thrown into jail, give their lives, burned at the stake for what they believed? Did they understand that just within a few years, the city that they're in, Jerusalem, would be destroyed in AD 70? Did they understand the future and the reality of what decision they were making? I'm sure some of them didn't even know. Those that were with Jesus understood, I'm sure, even though they didn't fully understand. For Jesus said, bless those that persecute you, didn't he? He was wise and he prepared them. But they didn't know the fullness of what was coming. But thank God, every one of those disciples gave their lives for the cause of Christ. The only one that didn't was Judas, but the rest gave their lives for the gospel. Only one of them died a natural death. All of them died martyrs' deaths for the gospel, including Paul. They went all the way and paid that price with their very lives. Now, I'm not saying in 10 years from now you'll be persecuted for your faith, but if that was to come, are you ready to pay that price? You see, we don't serve Jesus just for the benefits of being a Christian. Amen? We don't serve Jesus just to come and have fellowship one with another, as beautiful as that is. We serve Jesus because we have decided to follow Him. And no matter where He leads, we will go. Amen? And when it gets tough, we've got to say, Lord, it is hard for me right now, but I put my hand in yours. Lead me along, Lord. And we've got to be ready to go and sit down and count that cost. Let me tell you something. When an engineer sits before the architect or sits before the group that's about to build or do a particular project, they don't sit there all by themselves. Usually they have the architect, they have the one that they're doing the job for, and they're thinking together. You're not alone in your decision making. Remember, when you're sitting down to count that cost, make room in your chair or pull a chair up for Jesus. Amen? He'll be glad to help you. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. And God will give wisdom to you liberally. I remember hearing a prayer, one of those little prayers from Carter Conlon. He said this, Lord, give me the wisdom of Solomon and the heart of David. Give me the wisdom of Solomon and the heart of David. Help me, Lord, to have wisdom in this. Lord, help me to stop just seeing myself, not be short-sighted, all about me, myself, and I. And remember that my life affects a lot of other lives. And Lord, help me to make the right decisions. And Lord, help me to be a true disciple of yours that will go and pay that price to the very end. Amen? And so I want us to stand this morning, counting the cost.